Welcome to Magic the Amateuring,
the podcast.
I'm Maria, one of your hosts. To my left is...
My name is Megan.
And to my right, I have...
Hey, I'm Ben.
Thank you.
Ben is our resident expert.
Our resident magic expert.
I've been playing magic on and off since Fallen Empires, guys. It's been a long time.
How long is that?
About 15 years.
Holy shit, guys. Ben is old.
And we decided we needed to make a podcast to talk about it, to talk about our addiction, because we need an outlet. We need another outlet besides just playing the game.
Because addictions need to be fed.
I just want to say, when I taught you guys this game, I didn't realize how fast and how hard your addiction was going to hit. Usually when I teach people this game, they put up with it. Mm-hmm. And then we move on to other things.
To reiterate, Maria and I are fast and hard.
We have committed fast and hard. And I wonder why that is. I wonder why we are different. What drew us to become so addicted than your other friends, Ben, who you've tried to convert?
Well, it might just be the fact that I taught both of you at the same time, so you could play against each other as opposed to just being destroyed by me. But I think there's something special within each one of you.
For the record, Ben does not always win.
That's correct. He doesn't.
Well, that's true. And if the listeners know anything about magic, they know that, you know, even the best players are going to lose, you know, a reasonable percentage of their matches just because, you know, bad draws, mulligans.
Nature of the game.
That sort of thing. It's a random element of the game. It's part of the thing that makes the game fun, even if you're playing with different skill levels.
Sure. I'm going to just hit on something quick before we move on to our next topic that you said, Ben. Which individual characteristics do you think you see in Megan and I that makes us good candidates as magic players?
Well, Megan is really focused on learning all the rules and improving, and she's talked about
beating the crap out of people.
Yeah, she likes to destroy, which I think you both like to murder wizards, so that's probably the root of it. But
yeah,
Megan mentioned that she had played chess before, and I think she's transferring some of that chess brain over to magic. And Maria, I think you are bringing your poker background into magic.
Okay.
And a lot of passion.
That's true.
Whereas Megan has the cold analytical skill.
Wow, we would make a great two-headed monster.
We would.
You and I.
Yep.
I feel compelled to tell you at this point that there is a format in Magic the Gathering called Two-Headed Giant.
Oh.
Awesome.
Wow. Okay, I see something in our future. So, Ben, how did you get started in Magic?
Well, someone bought me a starter deck of revised Magic cards for Christmas, I believe. And at the time, I had no one to play with, but...
This is a familiar story.
I could tell, yes, it was similar to my Dungeons & Dragons predicament.
In case you're wondering what that is, that's where Ben really wanted to play Dungeons & Dragons, but didn't have enough friends.
Right, yep. So anyway.
Mm-hmm. This is a safe space.
Someone bought me this starter deck, and I could tell that this game was awesome, but couldn't really get anyone to play with me, or couldn't really get anyone to buy into the fact that the game was worth playing. But eventually, I started playing at the local card shop in my hometown, and I found some other people to play with, and I was really bad for a very long time. And I've been playing on and off, so I left the game and came back and started doing more limited sets, and I've been playing stuff on and off and on.
Right.
throughout the ages.
What qualifies you to be our resident expert, do you think?
Well, I know more than you.
Okay.
That qualifies you.
I think we should start out by saying the reason for this podcast is Megan and I have been playing Magic now for just probably about a month, if that.
Well, more than a month.
Okay.
Like 6 weeks?
All right, so it's not a long time.
No.
However, we have become officially addicted.
Yeah, if it were a fetus, you still like wouldn't even know it was there.
You might know. You might have
a feeling.
Yeah.
But you haven't told your boyfriend yet.
Right, because that's going to be
that's a whole conversation.
Awkward situation.
Yeah. But you're probably going to keep it, right?
Magic. If I knew it were going to be a Magic the Gathering addiction, of course I would keep it.
Okay, good. All right, well, let's take this moment of the program to talk about our Cards of the Week. Cards of the Week, everybody.
Uh-huh.
Who wants to start?
I will start.
I still haven't picked my Card of the Week.
Okay.
My Card of the Week is a rare that I put in my latest draft deck. And that card is Esperia, Supreme Judge.
Wow, look at that guy.
This guy's a beast. For those of you who don't know, it is a legendary creature. It's a Sphinx. It costs 6 mana total, 2 colorless, white, white, blue, blue. So pretty hard to cast. That's a lot of colors. It is a 6/4 with flying, and whenever a creature attacks you or a planeswalker you control, you may draw a card. So this card is pretty amazing. 6/4 flyer for 6 is really good, and drawing cards is just really awesome. However, what I found was that in my deck was already, you know, this was third pack, and we were already pretty deep into red-blue. And I had a few white cards, and I figured, you know what, I'll take this, and we'll just see if it happens. Well, I kind of think I would have been better off just splashing white and not putting this card in, because basically throughout the entire draft, I never put this guy down without just losing the next turn, at which point the extra card draw didn't really matter that much. But
you know, that's something I think you have taught us that I wouldn't have immediately known or wouldn't have intuited, which is that the higher mana creatures, I mean, basically, you're right at the end of the game when you get them.
Yep. That's why typically you only want like a few of them in your deck, because if you're full of these things, you're just never going to make it to the point in the game where you can actually play them.
Mm-hmm.
And if your opponent has a really slow deck, you know, maybe you're fine. But part of this format is that with the Rakdos decks and the Celestina decks that make all the tokens, if you don't have a deck that can do stuff in the first 4 or 5 turns, you're just going to be so far behind that it doesn't even matter.
Good point. I think something that I wouldn't have thought of on my own. Megan, what do you got?
All right. My card this week is Precinct Captain. He's from my draft deck from 2 weeks ago, which overall was a pretty, pretty mediocre deck. That was not great. So this guy he's the winner out of mediocrity. Okay, that's sad.
That's something.
That's something though, right? He's just a 2-mana card, and he's a 2/2 with first strike. And whenever he deals combat damage to a player, you get to put a 1/1 white soldier creature token onto the battlefield.
Why do you like this guy?
I enjoy first strike. And if you play it early, if it comes up in your hand early in the game, and you're able to deal combat damage to the other player, it's pretty sweet to get those 1/1 white soldiers out onto the field.
And it's, you guys, it's a foil.
And it's a foil, so it's pretty.
One thing I want to point out that our cards have in common, even though they're very different creatures, they both have what's known as card advantage, which basically my guy lets you draw extra cards. So that should be obvious how you gain a card advantage over your opponent.
Mm-hmm.
And Megan, your card lets you make tokens, which is kind of a form of virtual card advantage in that, you know, each one of those tokens is maybe worse than a normal card you would put in your deck. But, you know, over the long run, you get so many of them that all other things being equal, it's going to put you ahead of your opponent a little bit. So that's one thing for you guys to think about when you're evaluating cards is how can this card, you know, get me ahead of my opponent and get me up a card or up two cards.
Fab. Awesome. Fab.
Awesome.
All right. My card I'm going to pick from is my draft deck from Sunday, just the other day. We drafted. We had Friend Draft 2012, which was just eight of us drafting at Ben's house. So
not to be confused with Friend Raft 2012, which is where we put all of our friends on a raft.
It's a raft. Mm. Okay. I have Rakdos, Lord of Riots. It is a 4-mana creature. 2 black, 2 red. It is 6/6. So this was the first card I drew in the draft. And my previous draft, which was my first draft in my life, I also drafted Rakdos. And so I didn't want to do it again. But I got this guy, and I thought he was pretty awesome. And I was pretty right. He is flying and trample, and spells cost me 1 less to cast. For each 1 life, my opponents have lost this turn. You cannot cast him, however, unless you have done damage to your opponent on your turn, which is the one thing. So you need to have an instant or some other way to get them to lose some life before you can play him. But once you play him, cost of 4 for a 6/6 is pretty great with flying and trample. So that's my card of the week. What do you think of that card, Ben?
Well, I'm going to start out. First of all, one thing that our cards have in common mm-hmm. is that they're both legendary creatures. And this hasn't really come up too much with you guys because we've been playing mostly limited. But if you had two of these in your deck and you played a second copy, as soon as it came out, both of your creatures would go to the graveyard. Because they're legendary, there can only be one copy of this card with the name in play at the same time.
It's like Highlander.
It's just like the Highlander. There can be only one.
Okay. Have you seen that movie, Ben?
I have not seen that movie.
Okay.
I don't know what to tell you.
That's fair.
It's fine.
It's like when you're time traveling, there can only be one of you in one place at a time.
Yeah. Right. Marty McFly learned that the hard way.
So basically, it's the same thing. Don't put another dude. If you've got this in your hand, you can't play another one out. Now, if your opponent has this creature
mm-hmm.
and they see you play it and they don't have a way to kill it, they might play it just to kill yours.
I know. So it counts from you or them.
Yeah.
I see.
Yeah.
Tricky.
So that's the first thing I noticed. The other thing, I was talking earlier about card advantage, and this card doesn't really have any card advantage. It's a very good card, but it's, you know, still just one guy.
Yeah.
But what it does have is tempo advantage. If you do it right, you can cast this card on your fourth turn.
Yeah.
It is black, black, red, red, so it's pretty hard to get exactly that on your fourth turn. And also, there's a restriction where your opponent has to have lost life this turn. So it's pretty hard, but if you manage to pull it off, you have a 6/6 on turn 4, and then, you know, turn 5, you're attacking with that thing, and it's flying and trample.
And they're probably, I would assume they're not going to be able to block that, chances are.
They're certainly not going to be able to trade for it.
Right.
You know, best case, maybe they can put 3 of their guys on it and try to trade for it. But yeah, they're going to be in trouble. It's unlikely they're going to have 3 flyers on the battlefield on turn right. 4 or 5. So yeah, that's what puts you so far ahead. And then also, the part where it lets you cast creature spells for less mana, that's also another form of tempo advantage. And that's just kind of the difference between the Rakdos Guild, which is all about doing stuff really quickly, and say the Azorius Guild, which is more about getting card advantage, making the game take longer, and just drawing things out until it can kind of grind out a win, as opposed to Rakdos that wants to just kill your opponent before they even get a chance to play out all their cards.
Right, which I think is why I'm drawn to it. Because, I don't know, that's attractive to me, just beating somebody with a sledgehammer. You know what I mean, you
guys? Yep, I get it.
Have you ever committed murder?
No.
Okay, I'm the only one. All right.
Let's move on to our magic euphemism of the week. Should we go with our...
Yeah.
Okay.
Megan's got a good one.
Here we go. You're going to have some multiple choice options.
Do you want to set this up with the backstory?
Sure. No.
Okay.
Do you want to? You might be able to do it.
I was just
going to
say that it came out of a tournament that we played.
Oh, that's right.
So Megan and I, as you know, are novices.
Yes.
What's
burgeoning
the word?
Addicts.
Burgeoning addicts.
You're probably looking for a less pretentious phrase than that one.
That was great. Amateurs was the word I was looking for. And we decided to do a draft on, when was this? Just like 2 weeks ago?
Yeah.
And Ben sent me a text about it. I had absolutely no fucking idea what he was talking about. But we learned. We practiced online.
We did a lot of practice drafts.
Yep. And we went. And it was a tournament of 40 people. In what was mostly a basement.
What was entirely a basement.
Yeah. And it was a lot of fun. It was pretty awesome.
It was pretty awesome. And so while we were there, we determined that Maria was doing better in the tournament than I was because Maria has bigger creatures. Does creatures here mean A, ears, B, boobs, C, actual creatures, or D, self-confidence?
It's multiple choice.
It is multiple choice.
So think about that for a second.
We're going to give you 5 seconds.
Quick, Ben, tell a joke.
You want me to tell a joke?
Yeah, any sort of joke.
Knock, knock.
Who's there?
Who?
Who?
You guys sound dumb.
I think the punchline has something to do with an owl.
I'm pretty sure the punchline has something to do with an owl.
If you guys know the joke, why didn't you stop me?
All right. I think our time is up.
Time's up.
Ben is an asshole. So we're going to move on. The correct answer was boobs.
Oh.
Yeah.
So go ahead and use that one this week.
Mm-hmm.
If you so choose.
With your friends, with your enemies.
With your teachers.
Right. Some fluke of the tournament was that I placed third, which I think was some kind of act of God.
I don't think it was an act of God. You did pretty awesome. And you had some pretty big creatures.
I did. You guys, you got to use what God gave you.
You do.
For instance. Boobs. All right, let's talk about our great moments in addiction, Megan, from our lives. Have you recently had any moment that an outside viewer might, you know, look in at your life and say, oh my God,
oh, this person definitely needs help? Definitely one.
Okay, what do you got?
So this one is self-incriminating.
That's fine. I'm going to do it.
Mm. Ben is currently unemployed. So congratulations.
I think the term you're looking for is self-employed.
Okay. Ben is self-employed. We'll get into that euphemism later. And so he has been coming downtown during lunch hours, and we play some magic. And I get a half an hour lunch break. But our magic games usually take a little bit longer. Because by the time we do a match, it's probably 45 minutes to an hour. So I would say that has been nagging my conscience a little bit. Just a little bit.
Well,
but
fight the power.
I'm not going to stop. what I'm saying.
Good for you.
Thank
Good
you.
For fucking you.
Thank you.
I hope everybody out there is applauding right now.
So that and there's all the lovely, you know, suited and businessy people in Starbucks who are always like, what are you playing?
Do they
over
ask?
There?
Do they talk you?
Oh,
to you
yes.
Guys?
Yes.
What Usually at least two people.
Yeah.
And what do you what do you say?
I let Ben talk. Because I don't feel like it.
Okay. Sure.
And Ben's usually just like, it's Magic the Gathering. Here's a little bit of history about it. The I end.
Know. You yep. could be like a Mormon missionary.
It's weird because the people that ask always simultaneously have no idea what to do with the information.
Yeah.
But then also don't seem satisfied with my answer.
You know, it's exactly like when people ask you, how are you? It's the same thing.
Yeah. Similar. It's like, well, it's a game. How much do you want me to tell you about it? I can tell you as much as you want.
Or I can tell you very little, and you'll understand just as much as if I told you a lot.
I think maybe the real question that they're trying to ask is,
what the fuck are you doing in the Starbucks right. with those fancy cards?
You should be typing right. on a novel on a laptop, assholes.
Yeah, I think it's what they really want to know is, why are you the kind of person that is doing this right now?
Exactly. Or who told you that this was okay?
I think they're probably jealous on some level.
I agree.
Because sure. you guys obviously have some knowledge that they don't have.
Mm-hmm.
You obviously have somebody to eat lunch with in Starbucks.
We know secrets.
We know secrets. All right.
And we're not worried about Nano Remo.
Right. Well, my great moment in addiction I'm going to share is one from today, actually. You guys, it was one from today. I was in a meeting, which was just awful. Just awful. And I like to doodle a lot on my paper. And I started to draw Golgari Longlegs because while he's not my card of the week, he's my card of life. I love him. And I started to draw him with his long spindly legs. And then I started to draw other cards and assign them power and toughness. So I was just, but in the end it just devolved to where I was just drawing 6/6, 3/3 because I saw my boss looking over at me like, what are you drawing? What is that? Because I can't draw. So Golgari mm-hmm. Longlegs, I did not yeah. do him justice. I'm yeah. sorry. But I think that's kind of a sign you have a problem when you are just doodling creatures' power and toughness.
You know, I have at before at work when I was just so bored, I have, you know, opened up a new text file and just started writing down names of cards like, oh, this is what I would put in a draft deck. Mm-hmm. So I think I can empathize with that a little bit.
Okay, good.
A little bit where you're coming from.
Megan and I have both drafted while at work.
Yes.
On company. I've been paid to draft.
Mine was technically during my lunch break.
And just to clarify, you're not talking about Magic Online.
No.
You're talking about practice. Like a practice draft.
We're talking straight up practice drafting. Right.
Yeah. I'm not quite that ballsy.
Right. You guys. That would be like the true sign of addiction. That would be the equivalent of playing World of Warcraft at work.
Yeah.
Wow.
Megan's trying to figure out a way to make this happen.
You guys. My job, man. We're just going to give a quick overview of a deck that we have drafted pretty recently. So we're each going to give you a little overview of a Return to Ravnica that we recently drafted.
Mm-hmm.
I'll start out with my pretty freaking mediocre deck from a couple of weeks ago. This is a Celestnia deck, and the best thing that it has going for it is it has a pretty sweet mana curve. I have a lot of twos. I have a lot of threes. I have a couple of fours, fives, and sixes to round it out. Just one one. But that's pretty much all it has going for it. A couple of flyers. Man, it's really uninspiring. You know, I can't say great things about this.
You know, Megan, I don't think you're giving this deck nearly enough credit.
Okay, that's fair. Do you want to elaborate on that?
Well, I mean, you've got good cards in this deck. You've got Loxodon Smiter. You've got Knightly Valor. You've got Elocutors, Long Legs. Course of Might.
Long Legs.
Common Bond. You've got some pretty good creatures in here.
I think what this deck lacks really is purpose. Like, it doesn't take advantage of the token making power of Celestnia.
Uh-huh.
For sure.
Hmm.
Yeah. And it also doesn't take advantage of some flyers that are in Celestnia.
Yeah, I'd say that's true. You've got you don't have a lot of populate cards in here. I think you just have like a Druid's Deliverance or something. So yeah, if you had a few more, well, you've got and a Rootborn Defenses. If you had a few more, you'd have a deck that could really take over. As it is, you kind of just have a deck that's fairly aggressive and can get in there. And if it doesn't get off to a fast start, yeah, you might not be able to find a way to win.
Yep. The other thing I noticed about this deck was no removal, which sometimes really kicked my ass. But I'll go ahead and admit that, like anyone on their first child, I am probably being too hard and demanding a lot.
Were you a first child?
Why aren't you doing better? Why can't you accomplish more? I understand that you have accomplished a normal amount. But I don't understand why you're not trying harder.
Why aren't
That's
you a doctor?
That's all that I'm saying.
Why aren't you a doctor?
Why aren't you a doctor?
Are you? Were you a first child?
Yeah,
I am a first child.
So am I.
How your parents feel about their first child, Megan?
My mom, no. But my dad, why aren't you a doctor?
Mm-hmm.
So there you go.
Your dad wanted you to have more removal spells.
Exactly. Exactly.
Organ removal.
We've all been there. Spells. Yeah, I think, you know, one of the things that we talk about in drafting is signals. And, you know, when you're drafting, you want to look for signals as to what colors you should be in. And I don't feel like I'm great at that. It's hard. It's really hard to be objective about that sort of thing. But, you know, when a draft is done, sometimes I'll look at my cards, and if I see that, oh, I didn't get any removal in these colors, to me, I take that as a signal that, oh, I shouldn't have been in those colors.
When do you make that decision that you should stop and go to a different color?
Well, it's less of a decision that, oh, I shouldn't be in this color, as, oh, I should be in this other color. I mean, sometimes you'll see a pack and it'll be fourth or fifth pick and you'll just see, man, there's really nothing in my colors, but that could always be a fluke. So you kind of have to notice that pattern over, you know, two or three packs. But you can also see if you see things like if you notice two or three packs in a row where you see cards that should have gone higher, like, oh, I would have taken this card first and I'm seeing it third, or I would have taken this card third and I'm seeing it fifth or sixth, then that can be a pretty strong signal that if you go into that color, you'll probably continue to get that color later. But it's really, I mean, it's just so hard to figure that out. Even to the point where I would say, if you are new at drafting, it might just be in your best interest just to learn one color combination and stick with that unless you see like really clear, obvious reasons to move out.
Right. Well, I'm going to talk about my deck that I drafted just the other day. And I think it is maybe a tad weaker than the deck I drafted in the tournament. It's Rakdos once again. And I tried to learn a lesson from my previous deck, which was that I had not enough low mana, low cost creatures. So I drafted quite a few low creatures. And I think I had a few high ones in here as well. I think my problem was I passed on, what's the name of the, it's the cousin of the Annihilating Fire. It's the 5 damage.
Oh, yeah, yeah. The 6 mana, 5 damage to Explosive Impact.
Explosive Impact. I passed on Explosive Impact, and I shouldn't have, I think. That's only one card. But I don't know. I just didn't do as well this time around with it, even though I had some kind of neat cards in there.
Do you remember what you took instead of taking Explosive Impact?
No.
Oh, okay.
I don't. It must have been pretty good because I really liked that one. It definitely won me more than one game in the tournament.
Sure.
I don't know. I really like this one. Rakdos Rage Mutt, 3/3 with lifelink and haste.
Yeah.
5 mana. And yeah. And this one, you don't really see a lot of flyers.
Yeah, the Dagger Drum Imp. So the thing about this card is it's not super aggressive, which is usually what you're trying to do in Rakdos.
Yeah.
Because, you know, you're spending 2 mana. You only get a 1-power guy. It's got evasion, and that's good, but, you know, it's not going to do as much for you as, like, the, you know, the Gore Chain Fiend or whatever, the 3/2 unleashed guy.
Yeah.
For 2 mana.
Gore House Chain Walker?
That's correct, Maria.
Nice. Nice work. Oh, snap.
This one I believe you like, Frostburn Weird.
Frostburn Weird is very good. It's much better in blue-red when you've got all the mana to use on it.
Yeah.
In the Rakdos deck, it can be a little mana intensive because you have to choose between pumping him up and playing the rest of your spells.
Right.
And usually in Rakdos, you want to dump all your cards onto the table as fast as you can.
Exactly.
And really the thing that's so great about the Frostburn Weird is he's just such an amazing blocker.
Yeah.
He costs 2.
And there's not a lot of blockers in this.
Yeah.
At least that I got.
Well, in Rakdos, no.
That's what I'm saying.
But he's a really good blocker, but in Rakdos, you are ideally never blocking. He's really good because, you know, he can block 3/3 centaur tokens. He can block and trade with a lot of stuff that has 1 or 2 toughness, and you only have to pump him once. But I guess depending on your Rakdos deck, there are Rakdos decks that are super fast, and there's Rakdos decks that you know, are more controlling, where they're just going to kill a bunch of dudes and then eventually take over and win.
Sure. What do you think of this deck overall? I mean, Trader's Instinct, that helped me out definitely playing the other day. Augur Spree. Gutter Snipe I didn't have in my previous deck was kind of neat. What's your critique here?
Yeah, I mean, this deck looks pretty good.
Pursuit of Flight, I should add, saved my ass a number of times.
Yeah, so Pursuit of Flight and other cards like this, there's another one like this that gives +2/+1, and you can give it Trample.
Mm-hmm.
Those cards are actually pretty good in decks like this because you can put down small guys in early turns and get in for some early damage, and then later you slap this card down on it, and now your guy's even harder to block because you've made him bigger and you can attack with him right away because he doesn't have summoning sickness. So in a deck like this, it's really good. Enchant creatures in general are usually pretty bad because if you put it on a creature and that creature is killed by a spell, you give your opponent a chance to 2-for-1 you. You're giving them card advantage, essentially. But in this set, it's actually, there's not a lot of spells that really punish you for that. I mean, stuff like that can be really good. I mean, I guess if I were going to critique anything about this deck, you know, there's a few cards in here that are pretty weak, like the Viashino Racketeer is not great. Batterhorn is not amazing. I'd rather have some of the other Rakdos cards in here. But I think in this particular draft, there ended up being
two others.
There were two other Rakdos drafters, and they were also pretty new to the format. So I think all three of you kind of suffered because of that.
Yeah, I'd agree.
But yeah, I mean, overall this deck's pretty good. Not, I would say not bad at all, especially for your second draft deck ever.
Okay, cool. Do you want to say anything about yours over there?
Sure, I'll talk about my deck a little bit. I did a draft that got a little bit confused. mostly, I stayed...
There's the explosive impacts. You've got, you can have two of them. That's where they went.
Yeah, I'll just talk about... I'll mention some of the rares that I got in here. I got the Asperia that I talked about before. I got Chaos Imps, which is a 6-mana flying 6/5 with Unleash. I got Detention Sphere, which is a pretty awesome answer to just about anything, especially really good against tokens. You can get a whole bunch of different tokens out at the same time. And I also got...
And it's only 3.
And it's only 3 mana, yeah. And I got a couple Steam Vents, blue-red dual land. But as the draft was going on, when I started out, I wasn't sure if I was going to be red-blue or maybe I was going to be red-black. And then eventually I ended up red-blue splashing white. So I had a lot of really high-power cards, but I had to kind of round it out by making my deck pretty inconsistent. And in the tournament, it wasn't too bad. I never really had any problems. But in some of the games I played after, especially against Megan, I just stumbled on mana, and her deck really punished me for that. But I liked the deck. It ended up taking, you know, second place in the draft. Now, granted, the draft was a lot of newer players, and you know, just me and 2 other players that really had played the format much. So I still feel pretty good about it.
Well, nice. Done. Well done.
Very nice. We're going to move on to our player profile of the week.
Player of the week.
Player of the week is Ben.
It's Ben, you guys.
It's Ben.
Oh my gosh.
Hi, guys.
For our very first podcast, our player profile is Ben. So just let's talk a little bit about Ben.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right. You are self-employed.
Yes.
I'm using air quotes.
Air quotes.
Air quotes. You are self-employed.
Mm-hmm.
You own your own home.
Yep. That's true.
Great.
So that's a pretty nifty combination right there.
There you go. Self-employment, owning your own home, guys. Just trying to give you a picture of what kind of people are out there.
Yeah. There's all exactly. Magic takes all
some
sorts.
Some people own their own homes, some people don't.
Exactly. I mean, playing Magic.
Right.
Okay. What are some interesting facts about yourself, Ben?
Well, I was born in Montana.
There you go, guys.
Is there not a speed limit in Montana?
There is currently a speed limit. I believe the speed limit is like 85 or something ridiculous.
And when you get pulled
everywhere?
Over...
Not can... everywhere.
Oh.
In front of a school.
I didn't know.
Yeah, in front of a school, it's going to be 75 or something reasonable. I think maybe about 10 years ago, there was no number speed limit. The speed limit was a reasonable speed.
Right.
And so... You know, if you're out in the middle of nowhere and there's no one around, basically go as fast as you want. But you could still be pulled over and given a ticket
but
for
basically
driving unreasonably fast. But
give the
also
officer $20.
Well, the tickets, I think even if you paid the ticket legitimately, it was still like, you know, a $50 ticket or something like that. So the penalty was a lot less severe. I think they ended up changing it. Like there was pressure from the federal government and interstate stuff and drunk driving laws and all that stuff. So, sorry, guys.
Montana is the state that really, really fights back against the feds, you guys.
That's right. FYI. Montana.
That's why I had to get out.
Fight back.
Land of sky blue waters.
What?
That's not right.
Nope.
So, are you going to profile anything about my Magic playing, or is this just
this
just
is,
more of like
this
a
is mostly just
human
like
interest
a,
piece?
There you go. You're our human interest story.
Okay, cool.
Ben is on a paleo diet.
That's true.
Mm-hmm.
I've been doing the paleo diet. I like it, guys.
How has it changed your life?
Well, I am a lot more sensitive to sugar. If you put sugar in my mouth, I'm more likely to freak out.
Really?
I definitely notice.
Like, you feel the rush.
Like, I don't think I could eat a full cookie. Like, just having like one bite of a cookie kind of makes me like, woof, oh man, that is enough.
It's kind of sad in a way.
I was at work a couple weeks ago at this office.
Wait, where Megan, put your brownie in his mouth right now.
So anyway, I saw like this box of donuts, and there was a blueberry muffin looking thing in there. I was like, you know, that sounds really good. I'm gonna have it. And I was pretty hungry, so I was like, I'm gonna break paleo. I'm gonna have this blueberry muffin. And I bit into it, and there was, I took a bite, and there was some sort of like jelly injected into this blueberry muffin. Gross. And I was just gross. Like, no, done. I feel like it was a donut disguised as a blueberry muffin.
Decoy muffin.
Yeah, it's like, it's like those guys from Kamigawa Block that had ninjutsu, which is an ability where if you attacked with a creature and the creature wasn't blocked, you could like put out this card with its ninjutsu ability. You like return the attacking creature back to your hand, and then you put out the ninja, and that ninja was like already attacking. And then usually like, when it did damage to them, that you could like draw a card, or they would have to discard, or give you some like extra thing. So it was this really cool, like, oh, I'm attacking with this, you know, this 1/1 rat, and then all of a sudden I was like, oh wait, it was really a ninja the whole time.
What?
Cool.
That's yeah. Awesome.
They're pretty cool cards. I really like that block. I actually have a lot of those cards. We should at some point we should try to do like a cube draft with those cards.
What does that mean?
Cube draft is when instead of opening up booster packs and just drafting them, you have this set of cards, and you like shuffle up all the cards, pull out, you know, a stack of 15 per player, and then act as if that was the pack you just opened. And so sometimes they're like all the really powerful cards from Magic. And so then you get to draft these decks that do really ridiculously powerful things. But you can also do, you know, all the cards from a certain set or a certain block or something like that.
Cool.
Wow.
Awesome. Anything else? Would you like to mention anything about your Magic skills?
Well, I'm pretty good at math. I feel like I have a really good technical understanding of the rules. I'm a computer programmer, and so to me, the rules just kind of work with how my brain works. And so I usually know more about the rules than whatever opponent I'm playing against, unless I play someone really good.
Nice. You have a brother who is also good at Magic.
Who is better?
I'm better. But in my defense, my brother, I only got him started about a year ago, and I've been playing much longer than that. So I have more sort of accumulated history and experience and all that stuff. He's gotten good much faster than I ever did.
Awesome. All right, we're going to talk finally about some lessons that we've learned in Magic this week. Megan, what was the number one thing you learned?
The number one thing I learned this week in Magic is, don't play that creature before you attack with your other creatures. You don't have to play a creature in your first main phase unless it has haste. If it has haste, then obviously you can attack with it that turn. But if it doesn't, you might as well wait until your second main phase at the end, because then you have some mana open to cast any instance or anything else that you might want to cast during the attacking and blocking phase. Or even if you don't have anything in your hand to cast, your opponent might think that you do.
And one other thing is that, you know, when your opponent is deciding how to block, one thing that they might be thinking about is, well, you know, if I take this damage here, I can attack with my guys next turn and get in for some damage as well. And if they don't know what kind of blocker you're going to play for next turn, that's going to give them less information and they're not going to be able to decide that. So that's another big reason why you do that.
Awesome. So that is my lesson. Don't cast your creature until your second main phase.
And in general, we've been talking, Megan, about just doing everything as late as possible.
Exactly.
Just to keep all your options open. And that includes, you know, casting combat tricks right before damage happens.
Yep.
Or doing stuff at the end of your opponent's turn.
Yep. Getting married.
Yeah.
Keep your options open.
Keep your options open.
Ladies, think about it.
You want to wait until just before your uterus stops working.
And when is that, Ben?
I've found that to be right around 33.
My mom had me when she was 34.
Well, I was going to say 33 and 7 months.
Okay.
So she must have got in right before
right
then.
Right at the end.
And then she was just going on momentum.
What do you think happened with my sister then?
Adoption. Aggressive adoption.
All right, Maria, okay. What is your magic lesson?
Well, I have to say I learned the same thing as you from you, actually. So now...
Mm-hmm. I'm a bad teacher. And I couldn't find the words to convey it to you.
That's okay. Megan, I feel like that's a gift that you've given us, is the ability to teach each other.
Yeah.
Right? Doesn't a parent just feel love in their heart when they see one of their children, like, teaching the other one how to use a fork?
I've just been using a fork so long, guys. It's hard for me to remember where your brain's at.
Right.
Pre-fork.
Right. Other than that, I would say a lesson I learned is that I really should try and stretch myself when it comes to what colors I go into and to not be afraid because I don't like to play defensively. True, I don't really like to do that, but I think that if I'm ever going to grow or get any better, I just have to force myself to do it.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's maybe some of it comes from my fear of not doing the math correctly when I have things out on the field. But I just need to get over it. And don't let me draft Rakdos ever again.
Yes. And maybe next week we can set up a situation where you can show us some combat math.
Oh, fabulous.
Ooh. And, you know, Maria, I'd say don't beat yourself up about this too much. I think almost all new Magic players have actually the opposite problem where they are not aggressive enough and they're not attacking often enough. And so, you know, you just need to fine tune it, but basically everyone needs to do that. And it's one of the trickiest parts of Magic. And it's one of the things that makes Magic so much fun to play is figuring out, you know, what's the best attack I can make every turn.
Awesome.
So,
well, thanks guys.
I'm pretty sure that's it. Yeah?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Sure.
What do we say at the end of this?
We'll be back again. We're going to go take a hit of some sweet, sweet crack. Some cardboard crack. That's something I learned.
The term
cardboard crack.
Mm.
So we're getting off the microphone. Mm-hmm.
Right? You love it, don't you, microphone?
Yeah.
We're going to get off the microphone to go play some magic.
Once we get off this microphone, we'll be able to afford all that cardboard crack, right, guys?
Oh, yeah.